Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. So our text from Revelation chapter 14, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the concept of eternity, it's a hard concept to get our arms around, isn't it? This concept of eternity. I remember in geometry class in junior high, for example, being told that the definition of two parallel lines that went on forever in the same plane eternally was the proper definition. These two lines that went on and on and on in two directions, and they never touched, they never intersected, they never crossed one another's path. And that is one way to think about eternity. That is, when we think about a thing that has always been and always will be. God Himself is eternal just in that way. Of course, there's also an eternity that has a beginning but no ending. That is an eternity which begins from the time something comes into existence and then continues from that point on forever and ever and ever without end. So the eternal life that is promised to us by God, our Heavenly Father, by believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, that eternity has a beginning when faith is created in our hearts. And for many of us, that started, that faith, when we were baptized as babies. In this sense, we also, that is all human beings are eternal. And that is, once we came into existence, once we were conceived, once we were born, we were beings, we were life forms, we were creatures that will indeed exist eternally, forever, without end. Yes. We will, unless our Savior returns first, experience death, each one of us. But death is not an end to our existence. Death only brings an end to our bodies for a period of time. For in the resurrection, we will be reunited with our bodies, as will all flesh, and we will continue to live with our Savior Jesus Christ in heaven in great joy, or we will live apart from Jesus in a place called hell, in great pain and anguish and suffering and regret. So it's this type of eternity, this eternity that has a beginning, but not an ending, about which we heard in our first reading, in our sermon text. That is, it is this type of eternity that is meant when the eternal gospel is mentioned there. The eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, every tribe, every language, every people. This eternal gospel is the salvation of mankind. Salvation of you and salvation of me by God's grace through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, the eternal gospel is the good news. Remember, that's what that word means, gospel. The eternal gospel is the good news that we've been created by God. This is great news, actually. Created by God, our loving Heavenly Father, redeemed from sin and death and the devil and hell by the Son of the Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we are continually, even to this moment, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit of the Father and the Holy Spirit of the Son, who proceeds from both and works faith in our hearts to believe that this is in fact true. God created us. God redeemed us. God sanctifies us. That message, for all intents and purposes, that eternal gospel, it began to be proclaimed already in the third chapter of the Bible, already at the very beginning in the book of Genesis, where we read, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And that eternal gospel message continued throughout all of Scripture, all 66 books, to the book of Revelation, the very last book, where we read, "Then I looked. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and blessing and glory.'" This is the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified, resurrected, and ascended into heaven for us and for our salvation. In him and only in him is life, this eternal life. That is the forgiveness of sin, life and salvation, and this will always be so. It will always be so. As it is now, so it will be, and always will be. In heaven even, as we're there, as we just heard, they will still be proclaiming that same gospel for the sake of all mankind. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that eternal gospel, is therefore, it's just like a rock that cannot be moved. And Scripture makes that comparison many times. So the Reformation of the Church in the 16th century at the hand of Martin Luther, a work of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't about some guy with some new thing to say. The Reformation of the Church in the 16th century was instead about some guy who stubbed his intellectual toe. He stubbed his intellectual toe. He stubbed his mind. He stubbed his heart. He stubbed his soul upon a rock. The rock called the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ. And stooping down to look at that eternal gospel more closely, he saw that he had tripped on only the very top, the very tip of a huge mountain, the very tip of that huge mountain which he would spend the rest of his life clearing away all the rubble around it so it could be seen. All the intellectual, theological, political, ecclesiastical and moral debris he found. Why? The eternal gospel of Jesus Christ, it hadn't changed from the time of the apostles up until the time of Martin Luther. That is some 1,500 years worth of time. What had happened was that the eternal gospel of Jesus, that simple but profound gospel of the forgiveness of sin through faith in Christ, had been buried. It had been buried under a pile of philosophy. It had been buried under books and books of theology. It had been buried by worldly politics, social concerns. How could that happen? Well, here we can think of the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, which covered the city of Pompeii with ash, and that city would stay covered for almost 1,600 years. But the gospel is not so quickly overwhelmed, instead slowly over time. Slowly over time, the gospel of Jesus Christ through the centuries was buried. First by a concept, and then by an idea, and then by a political expediency, and an intellectual assumption, pedagogical method, and then an ecclesiological need. And slowly over time, the gospel disappeared. I mean, Pastor, so it can be thought, and is thought nowadays. I mean, why is it even needed, really, this gospel? If society is functioning more or less, if there's relative safety, if the economy is somewhat healthy, there are schools and entertainments and church buildings and pastimes, who really cares how such a religious thing is understood? What is being taught? What goes on in a church building on a Sunday morning when most people nowadays, Pastor, they're in bed anyway? I mean, churches are functioning. People seem to be happy, or at least satisfied. So why even ask what the gospel of Jesus actually is? Why rock the boat? Well, first of all, what needs to be realized is that all that around us, unlike the eternal gospel, all that around us isn't eternal. It's not. Everything we see around us is temporal. That is, it's temporary. It's not permanent. It had a beginning. It's going to have an end. It will pass away. Everything we see here will disappear into oblivion. How surprised, for example, were the Jews in Jerusalem around AD 70 when the Romans utterly obliterated the city, destroying the very temple, the stones of which the disciples of Jesus had praised for being so massive, the temple which had stood there in Jerusalem for 400 years. You see the problem? You see, the problem is we tend to think of this life, our life, is what is eternal and what is permanent and what always will be, and it is not. Simply is not. Our attempts then to somehow change the eternal gospel of Jesus, to modify it, to reconstruct it somehow for the here and now, is our attempt to somehow make the eternal temporal. But the exact opposite needs to occur. We ourselves need to be modified. We ourselves need to be reconstructed in order that we can live even now in an eternal fashion. And that is according to the eternal gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Such a life in Christ is a life that is lived by looking beyond this life. It is a life that is lived by looking above this life. A life that is lived by looking past this life, to the life lived forever. Why is it that we are not saved from this life by our efforts made in this life to overcome this life somehow? Because we simply cannot do it. We don't have it within us to do. We are not capable of doing it. I mean, we eventually do come to that realization. Just like those athletes, you know, they come to a similar realization. Yes, athletes, they train as they should, and they lift, and they run, and they diet. But at the end of the day, they're just not as good as the other athletes against whom they compete. They're not. So what do they do? What do? When they finally realize they're not as good as the athletes around them? They retire. Or they cheat, right? How many drug scandals have there been in athletics over the past decade? Scandals in swimming, scandals in track and field, scandals in tennis, scandals in baseball, scandals in bicycle racing, scandals in ice skating, and all sorts of other sports where performance-enhancing drugs were discovered to have been taken. Why? Why? Why were they taking those drugs? Well, the athletes in and of themselves were not good enough. They weren't good enough even to achieve an earthly glory. And they realized that it was so. And when we look at ourselves, our wasting away as we get older, and we look around ourselves and we realize that it is all going to come to an end someday, how can we begin to think that some sort of escape from such a situation is possible using the failing creation itself as our source for such an escape? We're not spiritual MacGyvers. We're going to find a toothpick and a paperclip and a bit of fishing wire, and somehow we're going to get out of this. So the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Why will the truth of Christ set us free, free from this world, free from ourselves? Because the truth of Christ, it isn't temporal. It isn't temporary. It's eternal. And the truth of Christ is eternal because Christ himself is eternal. Eternal as in, he has always been and will always will be, and so simply always is. Tell them I am sent you, is what the Lord told Moses at the burning bush. The great I am, the very Son of God, God of God, light of light, is he who is proclaimed in the gospel, making that gospel an eternal gospel, the eternal gospel. Believing that eternal gospel, we're saved. We're saved from our temporality. That's why when Peter in Matthew 16 confessed to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What was the rock? The rock of Peter, the confession of Jesus as the Christ. This is the eternal gospel. The gospel that will always remain, the gospel by which we as Christians live even now. But how can we live by the eternal gospel if we exchange it for some sort of temporal gospel to suit our present purposes? Or simply, slowly, bit by bit, over time, cover up the rock, which is the eternal gospel of Jesus, with the politics and the philosophies and the theologies and the psychologies and the sociologies of this present age, all in the name of getting along in the here and now. When Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg on October 31st, 1517, he wasn't trying to do anything more than point out what the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ was, upon which he had stubbed his toe. That is the mountain of the eternal gospel he discovered when he read the Bible. The social upheaval caused by that one piece of paper posted on that door would not subside until over 130 years later. That is the end of the 30 Years' War. But it did subside. And by that time, the eternal gospel was already in the process of being buried once again. That fact should be for us always the somber warning that it is. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the creed.